Graziana and Jabel, my dear friends. It's great to be here, and I will have to rush out. I've got a 2 o'clock flight heading to Havana, Cuba, and the Irma hurricane stricken region. And so please forgive me. I'm already within the 2 hour international flight, so I'm going to be pressed to make it. But this is critical. This report, there's good news and bad news. The good news is there's been extraordinary progress made in the last 25, 30 years with countries coming together to end world hunger. A population of the world that's increased from over 5 billion to over 7 billion. We've reduced hunger by over 200 some odd million people in the last 25, 30 years, but we have hit a wall. And now hunger is on the increase, up to 815 million people from 777 million people, as Graziana mentioned. And the question you have to ask yourself is, what is the most devastating reason for this change of course? And it's simply man-made conflict. 19 countries in protracted conflict. Who suffers the most? Innocent victims? Children. Children all over the world. There are 155 million stunted children in the world, a reduction. But in the war zones, 122 million, 75% of them in conflict zones. As Graziano said, 60% of the world's 815 million hungry people live in conflict zones. That's 489 million preventable man-made hungry people. 80% of the World Food Program's expenditures are in man-made conflict areas, which is driving development dollars away. As we now see and understand very clearly that man-made conflict creates crisis, it creates hunger, it creates starvation, and it tears apart societies. FAO and EFAD and World Food Program, we're working together. I have no doubt if we were not working together so successfully with so many of you in this room, the numbers would be substantially worse. We've got the experience and the expertise, the dedication in this room to achieve zero hunger by 2030, but for the man-made conflicts. We know that in countries where there are protracted crises, there's a 2.5 times more likelihood that people will suffer malnutrition than people elsewhere. We know from our studies that for every 1% increase in hunger, there's a 2% increase in migration. We know that food insecurity can itself trigger violence and conflict. And so it's with a sad heart that we give the state of food insecurity in the world today, that there's an increase in food insecurity. With all the technology and all the wealth, it's a shame that man-made conflict is driving us in the wrong direction. So we call upon the leaders of the world to come together and apply the pressure that's necessary to end these conflicts so we can achieve zero hunger around the world. The three Rome-based agencies working together with UNICEF and WHO, with Tedros and Tony, who will be speaking, I think, in just a few minutes, we're partnering together in every way and shape we possibly can to achieve the objectives of our mandates. But this is a shame. This is an indictment upon humanity. With all the successes of technology and wealth today, we should be absolutely going in the other direction. But it's up to all of us in this room to come together and apply the pressure necessary to end conflict so that we can achieve zero hunger. And so it's great to be here. I wish we had better news, but our goals are noble, but the facts are reality. And so we look forward to working with you. And I'm looking forward to my good friend Gilbert coming up. And we three, as you've been paying attention, we've been traveling together, working together. Our organizations and agencies are coming together in a way we've never seen before. It's that spirit of cooperation that we need leaders in other countries around the world to come together in that spirit so we end this conflict. So thank you. It's great being with you.
After the introductory remark made by both Graziano and David, I just want to make sure that I don't repeat the same point to here. So let me try to complement it by point out, firstly, the 44 countries which are severely, where the situation has worsened. It's interesting to know that 17 are upper middle-income countries, 12 low-income countries, large populations countries, and small island developing in developing and small island developing states. What does that tell us? Clearly, that the threat of hunger can appear anywhere, and that action needed to be stepped up in a range of contexts. What it also says, and I believe Graziano touched a bit on that the simple fact of pursuing economic growth is not necessarily a guarantee against hunger. So we really need to make sure that to be aware of the fact that the conditions that create hunger are clearly linked to weak policy, poor governance, and the lack of sustained commitment in support of national and global food security policies and actions. For us, this SOFI report should serve as a strong signal of the need for more investment. To strengthen food security and nutrition, to strengthen resilience to climate change, and obviously to strengthen the productivity of agriculture, particularly in low-income countries and countries experiencing conflict and fragility that David just mentioned. Certainly, humanitarian relief is needed. It is needed. At the same token, we shouldn't make any mistake. Let us make no mistake that only sustained long-term investment will provide the necessary answer that we are looking for. I know all of us, from the international community to the bilateral to the national government, are somehow disappointed to see that the numbers are going on the wrong direction. So my point, it is certainly a matter of much more resources, but it's not only a matter of resources. We also need to make sure that the nexus between the humanitarian and development, we start working on that at the earlier stage, instead of de facto waiting for the humanitarian to go down before we start stepping up the long-term development. I would like to also point out that the need for investment is obviously most acute in rural areas. The report indicates that 56% of people affected by conflict, they live in rural areas. So let me remind you that hunger goes hand in hand with poverty, and that 80% of the world's poorest people and the most undernourished are in rural areas. If we want to combat hunger and reverse the tide, we must commit to a longer horizon so that our efforts are able to build the resilience that I referred to and improve the nutrition, especially in the rural setting. That requires certainly a new paradigm of development, a new redefinition of cooperation, collaboration, and global long-term commitment. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to cooperate more. We need to have much more partnership. We need to have much more national ownership, better governance. But all of that being said, we got to scale up. We got to scale up our efforts. It is time for the global development community, despite the tension on ODA, despite the tension from security, from humanitarian, to realize that we could not fight hunger. We could not stop this if we do not scale up our activities. So let me just end by recalling that, or echoing what David just said in closing, that as much as we are concerned, I believe not only the Rome-based agencies, but the rest of the UN and IFIs, we are so determined to do, to contribute as little as we can, but all our efforts in hoping that the next report will provide better outcome. I thank you.
Greetings from the World Health Organization. Please accept my apologies for not joining you in person today at the launch of this important document. The 2017 report on the state of food security and nutrition in the world. I would like to congratulate the Director General of the Food and Agriculture Organization, my brother, for his leadership on this very important initiative. Also, thanks to the heads of our sister agencies, the World Food Programme, the International Fund for Agriculture Development, and UNICEF for this powerful collaboration. For the first time, our agencies have jointly produced a far-reaching assessment of global food security and nutrition. It's sobering to read that globally, 155 million children under five, more than one in five, have stunted growth. 52 million are wasted, and 41 million children are overweight. Another 641 million adults are obese, and 613 million women of reproductive age are anemic. Undernutrition is slowly being reduced, but the numbers of overweight children and obese adults are rising, creating a double burden of malnutrition, especially in poorer countries. Unhealthy eating is the leading cause of disease globally, and maternal and child undernutrition and obesity rank in the top 10. By addressing these risks, we can prevent or delay around one quarter of all diseases annually. WHO is committed to improving diets and nutrition through our technical work and advocacy. The ongoing decade of action on nutrition is an important opportunity to create a global movement to improve nutrition and the availability of nutritious food. Dear colleagues, this new report focuses specially on building resilience for peace and food security. Large-scale conflicts pose great challenges for the health and nutrition of millions. WHO's new Health Emergencies Program is addressing the threat of acute malnutrition in its delivery of humanitarian aid. The report also provides the robust monitoring for charting progress on key targets set by the SDGs, including ending hunger and all forms of malnutrition by 2030. But progress is slow. Meeting these targets requires renewed efforts from us all. I thank you for your efforts and pledge WHO's continued support in the fight against global food insecurity and malnutrition. I thank you.
I'm sorry I cannot be there in person, but very glad at the inclusion of nutrition in children in the State of Food Security and Nutrition in the World report. For despite significant progress achieved over the last decade in reducing malnutrition and stunting, millions of children around the world are still at deadly risk. The statistics in the report are grim. 155 million children under the age of five, one in every four children in that age group suffer from stunting of their bodies and so often their brains, dimming their prospects for the rest of their lives. 52 million children, 8% of the world's children suffer from wasting or are low weight for their height. And the lives and futures of countless children, uncounted children, are blighted by food insecurity. As this year's report shows, the situation is especially urgent for children trapped by conflicts. Millions of children across northeast Nigeria, Somalia, South Sudan, Yemen, and elsewhere, innocent victims of a deadly combination of protracted, irresponsible conflicts, of drought, poverty, and climate change. Living through crises defined not only by hunger and ruined crops, but by preventable diseases like cholera and measles, displacement and interrupted education, a generation of children at risk. If unreached, a generation of children, more likely someday as adults, to replicate the hatred and conflicts of today. To address the needs not only in emergency situations, but anywhere children are suffering from hunger, malnutrition, and food insecurity, we must support governments, not only in making nutrition a priority, but in developing and implementing policies, programs, and systems that help deliver nutrition to the children at gravest risk, no matter where they live. That must include continuous care for children suffering from all forms of malnutrition, integrating nutrition across other programs like immunization campaigns and early childhood development efforts, where nutrition plays such a vital role in brain development. Increased support for breastfeeding, especially in the first 6 months of life, and better data about excluded children, nutrition, hunger, and food insecurity in every society. As we support these millions of lives, each girl and each boy, in turn, must be able to support more positive, peaceful futures for their societies and one day for their children. They can only do so if we deliver the help and therefore the hope that they need today. We cannot fail them.